Fellow believers. So we're in Luke chapter number 15, and we're going down to verse number 11. And this is part two of what looks like it'll be a four-part series within our series. We're talking about repairing broken relationships, and we're using this account of the prodigal, which is somewhat of a famous or familiar account to us, and then trying to glean some principles from that. So we're in Luke 15, and we're going to start in verse 11. And read down to verse 16. You follow, I shall read out loud. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And we'll stop there. We'll look maybe some other verses as we get into it, to the lesson. But that will introduce us to this passage of Scripture. And so we have talked about, and we'll have a slight review here in a moment. But we said we're looking at this from two different aspects. Or perspectives. The first perspective is the father perspective, the one who was right and who was done wrong. The younger son did him wrong. And then later, the next two lessons, we're going to look at the younger son, the prodigal's perspective, the one who did the wrong. So if we're more in the right, how do we treat people who have done us wrong? We just wipe our hands and say, forget you, never again, I'll remember what you did. That's not how we should respond. And so we'll look at that, and we'll look at it a little bit more tonight. And then sometimes, believe it or not, we are the prodigal. I know we don't like to admit that, but sometimes we're the problem. And what do we do? How do we reconcile? Hopefully that's in your heart. Hopefully if there has been a problem in a relationship because of something you've done, I hope there's a desire to make things right. And sometimes there isn't. Sometimes, well, you know, that's just the way it is. It doesn't have to be that. We should have a desire as much as we can to fix what we broke. So as we continue to consider the importance and necessity of repairing broken relationships, we come to this, what we call the prodigal son. This is the account of the prodigal son. Now, the word prodigal is not actually in this. Maybe you thought there was. I thought there was. I mean, a lot of times growing up, you hear stories like this, and you go back and read it, and you're like, I know he called it a prodigal. The word's got to be there somewhere, but the word prodigal itself is not used in this account. It's referring to this younger son. And it comes from that phrase in verse 13 where it says, wasted his substance. And that's the idea of being a prodigal. So the word prodigal originally means wastefulness. And so that's kind of how it started, and now it has evolved in its meaning. So originally, prodigal was someone who wasted his substance. That's why it was called the prodigal son. But now, basically, a prodigal is someone who leaves under bad terms and then is returning and trying to seek reconciliation. The prodigal has returned. A lot of times we'll say that. Sometimes kiddingly, sometimes not so kiddingly. Ah, the prodigal has returned, I see. And so it really means, a prodigal now means not just someone who wasted his substance, but it's someone who there was a parting, there was a split, really not a good split, and now there's this returning and reconciliation. Because of that, not only are there prodigal children, but there can be prodigal parents. You know, sad thing is sometimes as you're an adult, you have to deal with prodigal parents. Parents, when you were younger, maybe they left. Maybe a dad who just left. Maybe a mom who left. And now they're trying to rekindle a relationship with you. So there can be prodigal children. There can be prodigal parents. There can be prodigal siblings. There can be prodigal friends. So there's a lot of different ways these type of relationships break apart and how these principles apply. Now, in a very narrow sense, this account here is an account, a picture of salvation. That's really the main lesson here is a salvation lesson. The Father here in this account is referring to the Heavenly Father, and the prodigal is me and you. We thought we knew better, and we blew it. And now we're coming back and hopefully seeking repentance and seeking reconciliation. And the elder brother is me and you, now that we're saved, looking down our nose at those who were like us, but we think we're better than them now, and we forget where we came from. And so there's a lot of pictures here, a lot of application here in salvation. In a very narrow sense, that's what it's talking about. We have broadened it, and it's not just we. I mean, it's typically it's done this way. We broaden it and say, okay, beyond salvation, how does it apply to us? And it applies, I think, in relationship type of situations, and mainly repair and relationships, how we're applying it. So I'm going to take a moment. We're going to review the first 2 points that we talked about, and then the next two kind of build off of that. So we want to review what we've already looked at. So these should be easy because I know all week you're studying, right? You know these. You know these. So here's number one. Here's our first point that we talked about last week, and that is don't compromise and go along. If you're the father, okay, you don't go to the pig pen with the prodigal. Now, you know why I keep telling you that? Because that's what you're going to want to do. When there is a break in relationship and you're the one who's in the right, usually you're in the right because either you're the more mature, the more spiritual, and your heart breaks. The one who's walking away because of their carnality or their immaturity or whatever, they probably aren't as broken as you are. And your desire is to go to the pig pen. And that is not what you need to do. You don't go to the bar. Well, you know, I want my son to know I love him, so I'm going to go in the bar with him. Okay, that is absolutely positively. Can I emphasize the negative part of this, how wrong that is? That is not what you do. Let me tell you how silly that is. That's like saying if you have a, and I'm not trying to be unkind when I say this, but if you have a kid who has a drug problem, well, you know, I'm going to shoot up heroin with my son so I can relate with him. You say, well, that's stupid. It's stupid to sit in a bar with him. It's stupid to go in sin with those who are in sin so you relate with them. Okay, that is not what you do. You don't go to the pig pen. Even though your heart may pull you that way, that's not what you do. You don't compromise and go along. So the first decision you need to make regarding any relationship is that your relationship with the Lord comes first all the time. Let me give you a statement. This wasn't in the previous lesson, but we've used it before. The way that you love people the best is by loving God the most. Because if there's going to be a help in this relationship, it's going to come from above. And as I say this, and I'm not, this sounds a little almost sacrilegious, but I'm not trying to sound that way. But you know what really would mess this up is to get God against what you're doing. So if there's already a broken relationship, I don't want to tick off God about what I'm doing. I want God's help. I want his blessing. I want him to work in this situation. So I don't want to go against what the Lord wants. No matter how much my heart pulls that way, no matter how much I'm convincing myself this is what I need to do, I cannot compromise and do wrong, hoping that right comes out of it. Right never comes out of wrong. You know what comes out of wrong? Anyone want to guess? What comes out of doing wrong? It starts with W. The next letter is R. Has an O. There's an N. The last letter, anyone? G. Wrong comes from wrong. Okay? You don't do wrong and come out with right. You do wrong and come out with wrong. So if I want right, I got to do right to end up with right. So compromising, which is wrong, isn't going to make a wrong situation right. So your relationship with God must take priority. You know, I have this all marked to tell myself to push the button, but sometimes I get caught up in what I'm saying. I apologize. Your relationship with God must take priority over your relationship with any family member or friend. Now, you're going to have to do this on purpose. Because if you give in to how you feel, you're going to do what's wrong. Okay, so you have to purposely say, this is what's right to do. Okay, I don't care how I think. I don't care how I feel. This is what's right, and this is what we're going to do. So you don't compromise and go along. Now, the flip side of that is this. That was the second point, which number two is this. You don't cross them off. Now, sometimes your heart is, oh, I want to go to the pig pen. Sometimes your heart is, I don't ever want to see them again. Both reactions are wrong, and they're both out of emotions and not out of spiritual things. So you don't cross them off. So we have to be careful that our refusal to compromise is not perceived as a rejection of them. I'm not going to the pig pen, not because I hate them or I hate pigs, because I love Jesus. There's nothing against the prodigal. It's just a whole lot for Jesus. So you don't cross them off. So anyone who has a broken relationship with us should know that we are desirous of reconciliation. This is all review. This is all from the previous lesson, but I want to get us back thinking along this way when we add the next 2 points to it. And then here's the last thing that we talked about crossing them off. Often, reconciliation, now listen to what I'm about to say, reconciliation begins at the point of breaking. As soon as association breaks, that's when reconciliation needs to begin. So you can't say what you're thinking and how you feel. As soon as I see a breaking relationship, I'm looking for reconciliation. I'm not looking to vent. I'm not looking to get it off my chest because I'm only going to make it worse. Much of the difficulty in reconciling relationships happen when the relationship breaks down, or after it breaks down, then I just start hammering them all the time instead of trying to reconcile. So the seeds of reconciliation were often planted when the relationship originally breaks down, or the lack of seeds of reconciliation are often not planted when the relationship originally breaks down. So that's the first two that we looked at. And we see that in the story, this account of the prodigal and how the father responded. He didn't go to the pig pen, but when the son showed up, it wasn't like this. No. You still smell like a pig. He ran and kissed the son's neck. He never made the son feel like he was undesired. Now, did he go to the pig pen and kiss the son's neck? No. But when the son returned, did he hold off the son? No. Okay, so he did not compromise, but he did not cross them off. So both of those are very important. So now let's bring into the third understanding. So let's go to chapter 15 again. Now let's look at verse 22. Well, the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be, what's the next word? Merry. Now that makes sense, right? But that's not often how we do it. You know what's not said here? What's not said here is, "Okay, son, what did you do with all that money? I gave you your inheritance. What did you do with it? Come on, tell me, what did you do with it?" Okay, none of that's happening. There's an excitement, there's merriment, there's celebration because there's a reconciliation happening. So here's the third. Number three, third principle about, now I'm on the father's side, I'm dealing with someone who's done me wrong. Okay, I haven't compromised, I haven't crossed them off. Number three is this: don't rub it in. "Yeah, I knew you'd come back. Yeah, I knew that's what you'd do. Yeah, come on back, prodigal. Yeah, we'll see what we can do for you." He's not rubbing it in. He's excited. He wants reconciliation. So if you haven't compromised and they are returning, the last thing you need to say right then is, "I told you so. Yeah, I told you. See, I told you it wouldn't work. Should have listened to me." Okay, that is not what needs to be said right at that moment. At that moment, we're looking for reconciliation. Now, what matters at that time? Okay, so there's been a breakage in this relationship. We're trying to bring reconciliation. What matters at that point of reconciliation isn't that you were right, but the relationship can be salvaged. At that moment, we're trying to restore a relationship. Now, there may be, now watch what I say here, because I'm reading your mind, okay? And you're saying, but, you know, you want me to just sweep it all under the rug and pretend it didn't happen? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying at the moment we're trying to heal a relationship, we're focusing on healing a relationship. There may need at some point, because it may be the elephant in the room, there may need to be a heart-to-heart discussion at some time so that everything is cleared up. But usually that should not occur until after there's been a time of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Should you not be happy that there is an opportunity for healing? Well, you know, they said this and they did this, and okay, there's a place and a time for that. But right now, let's kind of bring things together. Let's stitch this together. Let's heal this. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Hold your place in Luke 15. Now, I know you know these verses, but I want to remind you of these verses, because in the heat of the moment, sometimes we don't remember these things. All I remember is, I told them, they didn't listen to me, and look what they did, and I want to make sure they understand what they did. Well, I think the son understood what he did. You don't eat with pigs without realizing, man, this was stupid. Proverbs 10, look at verse 12. Now, he may not come back and say it's stupid, but I'm pretty sure he knows it's stupid. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes. Even that perception of hatred can stir up the strife, because that's how they feel. They feel like you're hating them. They're probably going to get their feathers up. But notice in the second half of that verse, but love covereth all sins. It's not. Now, again, we didn't compromise. We didn't go to the pig pen. We did not change what I believe. There's an opportunity for healing here. Now's the time to heal. Let's reconcile this thing. Let's try to make it strong again. Love covereth all sins. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 13. If you're going to talk about love, I guess we'll look at the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. Which is funny, because right now I got the love boat theme going through my head. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Now watch, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. At that moment, that's what we need to focus on that type of reconciling, that love that's going on. Now, let me add a little bit more to this, okay, and give you something to consider here. Reconciliation of a relationship may not result in a full accounting of every wrong thing done or said. If you're thinking reconciliation is we're going to get this big Excel spreadsheet out and we're going to put everything on it, we're going to check and check and check and check and check until everything is checked off. Okay, you're wanting something other than reconciliation, because that's probably never going to happen. There are some things that have to be talked about, I understand. Okay, but that's not going to happen that way. The goal is to reconcile a broken relationship, not to vindicate our own righteousness. We're looking for reconciliation. We're trying to heal a relationship. Now, let me give you something to consider. Consider your salvation. When you got saved, basically, do you have to repent to get saved? Yes. The Bible's clear about that. But did you go through every sin in your life and repent of every single sin you could ever think of? No, you did not. And I tell you this, you did not repent of every sin. You know how I know that? Because you didn't know every sin that you were doing when you got saved. You know what happens the longer you're saved? The more you realize how much you were sinning before you got saved. Because you start reading things in the Bible and like, well, that was wrong too, huh? Okay, mark another one down. And I did that too. General repentance over sin, typically what happens at salvation. And that is what initially reconciled your relationship with the Lord. But you know what grows your relationship? Now, more specific type of repentance. When you realize, oh yeah, I need to repent of this, that's the growth in grace. That's the sanctification. So we getting saved is kind of a general repentance, and that initially reconciles, but then that growing in grace is that specific repentance that helps develop and grow. So when I'm looking to heal a relationship, I'm looking to, let's deal with what has to be dealt with the moment. If later things, other things have to be dealt with, okay, we may have to deal with those later. But let's not right now get caught up into the weeds of everything that happened. Let's have a time of reconciliation. Let our hearts come back together. Let there be a time of grace, a time of forgiveness, because that's exactly what happened in salvation. And so we don't want to rub it in. We don't want to make it hard for them to have this reconciliation. Now, let me add just a little bit more to that. Do not overly focus on what happened after the relationship broke down. Now, this is important. Because this is sometimes why relationships never get fixed. Because there was a breakdown relationship, and things started happening because of this breakdown. People were angry, people were hurt, things were said, things were done. After the breakdown, these things happened. And because these things happen, you ever deal with a family split that's not your own, that you get involved in, maybe because someone's telling you about it, and you're like, so, and I tell you this story, I really don't remember, I better be careful because I can't remember exactly whose funeral I was doing. I don't think it was someone in our church, hopefully not. If so, this probably person's got offended because I've mentioned it several times. I was doing this funeral, and this funeral home had two rooms. It was the one family, but it had two rooms, and there was family in this room and family in this room. Now, I'm walking in thinking it's overflow. So there's people here, and there's not enough room, so they're over here. But that was not the case. These people were there because they weren't going to be in that room. And those people were there because they weren't going to be in this room. There was a marked division in this family. So much so, when I started on this side and I said to someone, hey, can you take me to that side and introduce me? Here's what they said to me. And they meant it. They said, no, no, no. We don't go to that side. We don't talk to those people. You have to go introduce yourself to them. Alrighty then. Now, that's an awkward situation. But my guess is this. If you were to try to nail them down on what the division was, most of them couldn't tell you. They couldn't tell you what the division was. Most of the hurt happened after the division, because things are said and things happen after the division. And a lot of those things are never going to be fixed. What we need to focus on is, well, what caused this division? That's what we need to focus on. So we can't get overly focused on all the things that happened after the relationship broke down. Sometimes, now watch this, sometimes those things are the product of hurt and pain because of the breakdown. I'm going to tell you something about you and about the person who hurt you. You're human. And you feel things. And if those things bother you, they didn't quit being human. You didn't quit being human. And you can't simply say, well, but you hurt me. Of course, things hurt. That's our humanity. We hurt. We have pain because of these relationship issues. And unfortunately, it happens. And we can't let the hurt and pain become so intense that we never try to reconcile the relationship. You know, the son said, let me see if I can find the verse here, because I didn't mark it down in my notes. Verse 21, Luke 15. Notice what the son said here. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Now, notice what he says to his father next. And in thy sight. That's an interesting phrase. What did the son do in the sight of the father? Did he waste his substance with righteous living in the sight of the father? No. Did he eat with pigs in the sight of his father? No. He was rebellious, he was selfish, he was self-willed, he was proud, he was lustful. A lot of issues like that happen. You know, give me what belongs to me and I'm taking it and I'm going. That's what he did in the sight of his father. That's what has to be dealt with. The father is dealing with the issues at hand that caused the breakdown. The wasting his substance, riotous living, was the consequence of that. The eating with pigs was a consequence of that. That's the causation. That's what you're dealing with, the causation, not just the consequence. And sometimes the consequences you're not going to deal with. So when the son said, I have sinned in thy sight, it seems to me that he's referring to the event surrounding his leaving, because that was in the sight of his father. All the other actions would not have been in his father's sight, because he was already gone. So what I'm saying tonight is, then we deal with what must be dealt with, and then we show grace and mercy with the rest of the things. So let me give you two statements I want you to think about. Or one statement, kind of two sides of it. Causation sins, the sin of that caused this, causation sins often are more important to be dealt with than consequence sins. The consequence happened because of the breakdown. And if the breakdown had not happened, probably the consequences. That wouldn't have been said. That wouldn't have been done if the causation wasn't there. So let's deal with the causation. Let's not get so caught up in all the consequences of what happened after the breakdown that we get so caught up in that we never have reconciliation. That happened because of the breakdown. So let's deal with the breakdown. And that's what you say happening in Luke 15. I've sinned in thy sight. He's dealing with the causation sins. So if we flip it around, it's the same thing as this. If you go to the doctor and you got a fever and you got a cough and all that, they will give you medicine. And if it's more than a cold, let's say you got some type of virus, or let's say some type of bacteria going on in you, or maybe some other disease happening. They may treat the symptoms, but ultimately they want to treat the problem, right? They don't want to just treat the symptoms. They want to not. They may give you medicine for the things to help you feel better, but let's find out really what the problem is. Let's delve down and find what the causation needs to be fixed. If I fix the causation, then the consequences should take care of themselves. And so that's how we look at our relationships. We don't want to just rub it in over everything that happened. We want to try to reconcile and move on. Let me give you the fourth thought about this. So we're in the father's perspective. We've been hurt. Now, and we'll probably say this again in the next couple of lessons, but it's not that we are 100% right and 100% wrong. Okay, only God is perfect. We're not. And so we do have guilt on our side. No matter what they did, you can't say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Yes, you did. You're human. Of course you did. You may only have done 10% wrong and they did 90%, but it's probably more than that on the 10%. But nonetheless, you were mostly right. That's the father's perspective. They were more wrong than you. And now there's been a breakdown and you're trying to have reconciliation. We talked about, don't compromise, don't cross them off, don't rub it in. Now I'm going to give you one more don't. Obviously, what we do then is the opposite of the don't. Here's a fourth thing. Go back with me to chapter 15. Look at verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, now watch this. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. You know what his father didn't say? Well, you got a problem with it? That's your problem. No, he said, let me go find out what's going on with you as well. Which brings us to another important principle to understand. And number four is this. Don't forget about the other relationships. Now, here's why I say this. If we are not careful, it is easy to allow the stress or hurt over one broken relationship to overflow into other relationships and then cause harm in those relationships as well. It can become like the proverbial dominoes falling. Because I had an issue with this relationship and I'm so hurt and I'm so frustrated, now I'm lashing out in the other previously good relationships, and now I got even more broken relationships. Don't do that. Other relationships, beyond the broken relationship you're dealing with, other relationships still need our attention and affection. Let me give you one more thought, and then I'll try to apply it and make it a little more understandable. Our focus on a broken relationship must not cause us to forget other relationships. That can happen in different ways. In a marriage, this happens a lot in a marriage, unfortunately. There is a problem with a child. Maybe a child's going astray. Maybe a child is being a prodigal, whatever. There's an issue with this child. And pretty soon you see now major marital problems happening. Because the frustration in that relationship is overflowing into this relationship. And all they're doing is focusing on that relationship and forgetting about this relationship. And that is bad stuff. Sometimes there's marital problems and the kids get left out because no one's focusing on the kids because they're fighting among themselves all the time. And that's bad. Sometimes we get so focused on our human relationships that we leave God out of it. Because we're so focused on this, we're so caught up in this, and I gotta fix my marriage, I gotta fix my kids, I gotta fix this friend, I gotta fix this situation, and then the Lord kind of gets to boot. Flip side, you know, we're trying to grow in grace, and then we forget, you know, I still got a wife and kids I need to take care of. And so we can't ignore one relationship because we're trying to deal with another relationship. So we can't forget about the other relationships, even when we're trying to reconcile the broken ones. Now, let me show you one more thing about this. So we can't forget about the one because we're focused on the other. But there is also another tendency. And the tendency is this: because you did me wrong, I know you're going to do me wrong. And now we have a bitterness towards people because someone has done us wrong. I don't trust anyone. I'm always looking around. Some trust issues here. Because why? Because they did me wrong and everyone's going to do me wrong. It's because they did me wrong. So additionally then, we cannot allow one broken relationship to cause bitterness in other relationships. Because one person was unfaithful, we cannot assume that everyone else will be unfaithful. Brother Howell said this, and it's a great statement. Now, I mean, it's no great statement for me to make it, but when you pastor 5,000 people, then you see the greatness of the statement. He said, my hardest job sometimes as a pastor is to treat the new guy who's walking through the door just as well as I treated any other new guy and not treat him like the guy who just backstabbed me. Because it's easy to say, yeah, they're going to stab me in the back too. Yeah, they're going to come for a while, and the next thing you know, they're going to be attacking me and lying about me, and they're going to be doing all these things, because it becomes a bitterness in us because one person did us wrong. We just assume everyone's going to do us wrong. Every relationship must stand on its own merits and not be judged by other relationships. Wouldn't that kind of bother you? So let's see, the newest member in our church would be Kevin, I think. So let's say Kevin, I look at Kevin and I treat Kevin, okay, so, and we'll say Cole. So Cole is the one who's just given me nothing but fits, lying about me, creating trouble. And I just dream of Cole. Now, if I'm frustrated with Cole, as soon as Kevin joins the church, if I immediately started thinking about Kevin, yeah, you're probably going to treat me just like Cole did. You're going to lie. You're going to stab me in the back. Would that be really fair to Kevin? No. Now, would it be wrong for what Cole was doing? Yes. Would it be wrong for me to treat Kevin based on what Cole was doing? Yes, it would be wrong to treat Kevin based on what Cole was doing. Maybe I didn't state it right. So in other words, my relationship with Cole cannot be so consuming to me that I cannot have a good relationship with Kevin. And so every relationship has to stand on its own merits and not be judged by the other relationships. I know people who have had major issues this way. I'm around them, and you can tell, you know, they don't trust anyone. And you delve down, you find out somewhere in their past someone's done them wrong, and they've never been able to get over that. So everyone now, they just look at it like, yeah, you're going to do me the same way. You're going to treat me the same way. Well, I don't know, but I'd like to at least have a clean slate to start with. Think about this. Well, let's look at the verse, and then we'll think about it. Look at chapter 15, look at verse 31. And he said unto him, this is the elder son, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now think about that for a moment. What did the younger son do with what he was given? Waste it. Wouldn't it be easy for the dad to say, I ain't giving you anything. I saw what your brother did. I gave him his, and I worked too hard to see it wasted by you boys. And the elder brother could have said, but I didn't waste it. Yeah, but you probably will. Your brother did. You probably, that'd be totally unfair to treat that older brother that way, or the older son that way. See, that is the improper way. You're letting one relationship create bitterness in the other relationships. So the relationship with the father had, the elder son, should not be tainted because the younger son was a prodigal. So it's important that we don't forget about having these relationships and not let one create problems in the other. Now let me kind of give you the conclusion, and we still have two more parts that we'll look at. At least two more parts we'll look at this. So as we go through life, we will have many different relationships. That's just part of humanity. Not every person in that relationship will be all that they should be, including you. You will not be all that you should be in that relationship, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your parenting, or as a child, or as a friend, or whatever that relationship is. Worker, employer, employee, whatever the relationship is, you're never going to be all that you should be. So all of us are going to be disappointed by others. That's just the reality of the world we live in. But we want to have good relationships. We want to build and deal with the ones that aren't doing so well. So give me a couple of just quick thoughts to the end of this one. And that is this. Here's one. We need to show the other person in that relationship the mercy that we would want if we were the one who was guilty. Well, I can't believe they said that to me. Okay, if you said something that you shouldn't have said to someone, how would you want them to treat you? Maybe give you a chance to apologize. Maybe give you a second chance. Maybe you accept your sincerity of your apology. Then why don't we treat them that way? We're not always right. And so when they're not right, we should treat them how we would want to be treated when we're not right. So we show them the mercy that we'd want if we were the guilty party. And the other, which is, I think, as a believer, we should think this way. We should show the other person in that relationship the mercy God showed you when you were guilty before him. So if you want an example of the right way, how did God treat you? So if I put it into a three-point quick way, how do we deal based on these two lessons? If I give you 3 points to cover the 4 points, because we like 3 points, here it is. Ready? Stand firmly in your relationships. Love deeply. Forgive quickly. I think that's a good way to, on the father's perspective, I think that's a good way to look at it. We stand firmly, we love deeply, and we forgive quickly. I think that's a good way to look at the father's perspective of these relationship reconciliations. All right. Well, let's pray and get ready to